It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a Facebook political post. I can promise you that. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen. Go davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast or watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook via Zoom so you can see us and hear us. Get that going for you. Audio is better on Davin Comedy, and the visual is only available on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by a non-snow frolicking Pip Helix.
And, hi.
And a man dressed for crime, Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
I am well. On the show, Facebook is reducing political posts in our newsfeed. Pip has a bitches be crazy, and I believe it's going to be a doozy. I got a little hint of what it might be, and it's going to be a Zoftic segment. We'll tell you about the lamest exorcism ever. I can't even believe this is a story, but we'll talk about it. An 8-year-old girl gets expelled from school because she has a crush. And I think Pip might have been a victim of this nefarious scam as well. And a lot of you out there might have been a victim of a possible nefarious scam. I'll tell you what's going on with that. And we have some real scamming scammers. So much to do. As we were lamenting during the pre-show, we've all survived a big snowstorm. Everybody's all safe and happy, and unlike last week, I don't think Joe got into a car accident this week, so that's a good start.
Yeah, no, there's no car accident today. Car goes into the shop tomorrow.
You got a rental car, a loaner?
Yeah, they're giving me a rental. I was supposed to go in yesterday, but because of the storm, we backed it up till Wednesday.
That's smart. What else going on, Joe?
This storm has been very interesting, and I have decided, I don't know how long I'm going to live up north. I think I'm going to move south soon. I've had it.
I was thinking that today. I'm like, who wants to live in this shit? I've always loved this area, but now I'm like, well, the taxes are high, and I like the seasons. But here's the thing, Joe, and this might give you pause, because you're wired a little bit like me. Our patience for not going at optimum speed in pretty much all facets of life are almost nil. The rest of the a lot of other regions of this country will drive you and I crazy, my friend.
Yeah. Because type A, you know, let's go, and you get to other parts of the country, and you'll drive. I remember when we were working in Alabama, and we go into a convenience store, and the woman, I asked something, and the woman answered me, and I didn't understand. You had to translate.
I had to do Southern to New Yorker.
Southern to New Yorker.
Apparently, I don't remember this, but I'm sure I don't doubt it, because I'm sure that was Joe's first foray into Alabama.
Down that far, yeah. And but I just had it with the whole, you know, snow and the whole shoveling. I mean, first of all, you go, all right, why don't you just get a snowblower? I think about that every time I go out. But the thing about it is, everybody that I know that has a snowblower spends 5 minutes bitching how the thing doesn't start for an hour.
Can you say, hold on, stop right there. So, I am so glad you said that. I thought it was just me. But we used to have one that I bought brand new that was, it was always, as Joe would say, a federal case. It would never start and work properly. But now we bought one from the guy who fixes our lawnmowers and our snowblower. We bought like a used one. And I did have to get it fixed right before the last snowstorm. He had to come over, and that cost me a bunch of money. But this one starts. If you can get one that starts, I mean, truth be told, I've never used a snowblower. I make my wife use the snowblower because I figure the actual shoveling is more strenuous. You know, even though, you know, you do have, like, the snowblower, you do have to be strong upper body because you do push it, and not every snowblower is as propelled as the other one. But you know, every snowstorm, it always starts the same way. I'm like, well, go out there and use the snowblower. No, I don't want to use the snowblower. It's a pain in the ass to start. I'm like, it's not a pain in the ass to start. I just got it fixed. It'll start up fine. And then by the end, she uses the snowblower. So, Joe, you should get a snowblower. And you know what?
Every time I'm done shoveling, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to lay out. But I had to shovel twice. So I went out at about 1 o'clock yesterday while it was blizzarding out. And I have an outfit that I've had for years that I just, it's like bundles of stuff. So I'm like all bundled up. I'm warm as toast. But I get done, and then I'm watching the weather because now it's more snow. It's another 6 inches of snow, and they're saying, all right, well, it's going to turn to rain. If it turns to rain, now it's going to be a federal case to shovel because now it's going to weigh a ton. It's not going to stop. So basically I did the clips last night. And usually when I get done with the clips on a Monday, it's 9:30. I eat and I go to bed. I have to go out and start shoveling. Now, meanwhile, I could hear that son of a bitch outside now. I like that straggling. The guy that shovels around my block piles tons of snow in front of my driveway.
Wait, what do you mean the guy that the snow plow?
Yeah, the snow plow.
All right, he's not around your block, Joe. He's the DPW. He's not just showing up to plow you in. He does it to all of us.
Yeah, I know he does, but I take it personal.
Well, actually, it's funny. Me and because you know I've talked about this before. The wife likes the wife is drawn to shoveling. She's like, oh, there's a flake. I need to get that off the driveway. I've never seen such a thing. And then I feel guilty as I've talked about, so I go out there even though I don't want to. So last night we went out there and we cleared it out. And as soon as we're done, we're walking back in. The snowplow guy comes, not the one in Joe's neck of the woods. Snowplow comes. So I make a beeline to the edge of the driveway. I am like waving him off. I'm like, no, no, no. And it actually worked. He actually veered more towards the middle of the street. And then I gave him the, it used to be an A-OK sign, but I guess now it means I'm white supremacist. But before that, I was giving him the A-OK sign. I was like, thank you. But yeah, it's the most maddening thing. And we all deal with that, you know. And it's the heavy stuff. But again, the snow blower is still it makes it easier than if you were shoveling yourself.
Yeah
And it was, you know, it was a long night because basically after I got done, I started at 9:30. After I get done shoveling, now I gotta clean the car off, and then I gotta take my gear because I had to reschedule dropping off my car. I have band practice tomorrow night. I didn't feel like switching all my gear out. So what I did was I had to load my gear in the car so I could drop it and put it at the day program. So when I get the rental car, I just throw it in the rental car tomorrow. So I got in the house at about 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, by the time I got done. And I had a small, you know, quick dinner, and I go to bed. And I'm like, wow, this is good because now I'm going right to bed from doing all this stuff. And then I wake up this morning, and I'm like, wow, good. I have the TV on. I got a nice sound sleep. I get to the day program. I'm at the day program for about an hour. I get up to do something. I'm like, holy cow. You know, my body's like, what do you think, we forgot? No.
Why don't you pay for a service? Like, I think it's like probably for your property, like the driveway, probably like $50 for them to plow you out.
Yeah, but it's not like, because I live in a, you know, I live in a homeowner's development, so there's not a lot of guys that come around.
No, you go on like a Facebook group for your town, and you ask, hey, who do you guys use to shovel? And there'll be a bunch of people there. A lot of times, again, the Alzheimer's is kicking in. Landscapers, a lot of times landscapers do it in the winter. So,
These guys got to be, you know, it's a whole to-do with the HOA. Because they have to have insurance, they got to have this, they got to have that, you know, and blah, 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 blah. So it's, you know, I got to ask my neighbors and stuff like that, see what they're going on.
Aren't there any kids in your neighborhood?
No.
Kids don't do that anymore.
They don't?
No.
Well, maybe.
No,
if
they don't.
Maybe if there's an app for it, they'll do it. That's true. I don't really see kids doing that. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, you used to see kids going down the street with shovels on their backs looking for opportunities. They don't do that anymore.
You shovel, you have some lunch, play some video games, you go out and play football. It was the best thing ever. Snow days were the best thing ever. Now it's no different. My daughter, she migrates from the bedroom to the couch to the bedroom. Because, the wife's like, you know, I remember helping my father shovel. I'm like, yeah, I helped my father shovel too. She's like, my wife's like, well, we should have our daughter help shovel. I'm like, sure. But here's the problem. The only time my wife ever wakes up early is if there's snow on the ground. Otherwise, she can sleep till 11 o'clock or noon too. But if there's snow, she's like, oh no, I must get this off the ground immediately. So my wife is up early. My daughter don't get up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's just no way it's going to... And nobody wants to wake up my daughter because she'll be a grouch. You can't wake up late sleepers early.
No. I used to have to get up... I think I've told this story on this show before. My dad was the superintendent of our apartments. And my brother and I used to have to get up and help remove snow for the entire complex. So snow days were like the kiss of death to me, because that meant that I was working my ass off all night long.
Oh, that's terrible.
My mom used to go out there, and she'd start shoveling. I'm like, would you go in the house? I'm starting to shovel. I go, Mom, I'll be out in 20 minutes. I don't have time. I go, Mom, would you go in the house? I go, if you drop dead, it looks bad on me.
Thank you. Your mom and my wife are the same person. They don't understand the position they're putting us in by having to be the first ones on the block to shovel.
Yeah. Now Joanne, my ex-wife, she wasn't like that. I mean, the first things out of her, you're going to clean off my car, right? Yeah. Could you make some coffee at one point? And then I would go out and I'd start shoveling, you know? And she would just sit in there and watch TV, staring at the TV set like a big bird.
Yeah, that'd be annoying. That would be annoying. But yeah, my wife just went, like, it's like after we did it this morning, you know, it snowed throughout the day. So maybe an inch accumulated. Right before we went on the air, she was out there shoveling again. I'm like, for what? It's an inch. We relax. We've like shoveled 3 feet of snow over the past 24 hours. It's an inch.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll freeze again. And then it'll melt. The sun will come. Relax. But she can't.
Oh, sorry. What are you saying?
I don't understand her, because no woman gets excited about an inch.
My wife does. A white inch, too. So...
I tell you, when I moved into my house, Joe's girl and I were laughing our asses off, because the woman I bought the house from had these big pails of salt, and I'm like, what the hell does she need this for? And I found out during the winter, the sun never hits the front of my house.
Oh,
because my house faced the north.
And north.
And because the sun sits low in the sky, it never crosses the front of my house. So basically, my driveway is an ice skating rink. And I had it down to the blacktop last night, pretty much. And it was down to the blacktop when I pulled in tonight. It was broke my ass, you know?
So where are you going to move to, Joe?
Well, you know, Anthony Cumier and Sister Dawn, all those guys are heading down south, maybe South Carolina, you know? So maybe down there, maybe Florida. I don't know. You know, it's probably going to be in another probably 6 to 10 years before I go down there. But I, you know, it's just more things that I'm just getting sick and tired of winter. And to boot, I laid out $1,700 to have my heater fixed, my oil burner, not oil burner, my my gas heater fixed. And I had to lay out another $1,200 on Thursday because it decided not to work. I wake up, and this is when we were starting to have the cold snap. And the day before, I wake up and it's blowing cold air, and I'm like, funny, this isn't air conditioning. And I had to bring the guy in, and then I had to spend another $1,200.
Wait, so you had to spend... So the first guy fixed it, but he didn't fix it.
Well, he fixed it. What they did was they changed out the flame center, and they changed out another part on that. What this time around, it was the control board that went. And they had to replace the control board, and you have to buy parts for the control board because it's remanufactured, and they had to put that in. Now, meanwhile, my place, we sell these things, and my guys are busting my chest. Well, you should have got one from us. And I go, you want to know something? I go, if the thing broke down in like October, you know, and we had a cold night in October. Yes, yeah, but I had broke, you know, but I got to get it fixed now. And it was so cold in my house, I had to sit in my car for 20 minutes and crank the heat. It was brutal.
Wait, you why don't you have any space heaters just in case?
I didn't buy a space heater because I should buy one, but the only reason I don't have a space heater is in my old house, and this is over 10 years ago, I was trying to find ways to cut the heating bill. So I told Joanne, I told her, I go, look, we're gonna get a space heater. We'll keep the space heater in the bedroom when we go to sleep. We'll keep it in the kitchen and blah, 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 blah. The oil bill went down. My electric bill went through the roof. So it kind of evened out, you know?
Yeah, but it's good in case of emergency.
Yeah, but sometimes in an emergency, I had power, but I'll probably pick one. I like the little fireplacey looking ones. You know, they have one at Lowe's that will fit perfectly for about $200. You know, so we'll see what happens.
No, that doesn't fit your decor. You have a beach decor. You should have one that looks like a beach ball. That's what you should have.
or a beach bonfire.
Yo, that's good. Or maybe a dolphin shooting like lasers out of its eyes. Not Jewish lasers. That's already been taken, and we'll get there.
Jewish dolphins?
Jewish dolphins. Yeah. They're my favorite. The problem with Jewish dolphins is the yarmulke covers up the blowhole. Well, what are you going to do?
Keep flipping.
So I was I was on Don Jameson's show, that Jameson show, and I was on the set for the year. He invited me to come on really quick. And we were talking about something interesting. There's a thing with scammers that there was a woman on Dr. Phil that this woman got scammed.
I know the story. Damn it, I was going to do it next week. Damn you. But you could.
I won't say anything then.
I thought it would tie in nicely because next week's our big Valentine's Day show. Love fails. It wasn't one of my love fails, but I thought it'd be a nice story to share after our countdown as we tail into the scamming scammers.
Yeah, I won't go into the story, but it was interesting because I was talking about the scammers and stuff like that, and Don was like, "Boy, you're a big expert," and I did a very big plug for our show. I go, "Well, our show, we scam scammers, we expose scammers." I go, "We were on American Greed. We consult with the Army. We do all this stuff." So yeah. So it looked pretty. You know, we got a little good plug on Don Show this afternoon.
Good boy, Joe. Good boy. Good boy. But yeah, I know exactly what story when I saw that. I'm like, oh boy, how does that happen? Yeah, we'll have some fun with that. We'll have some fun with that next week.
Yeah, I also explained. It's good because I also was able to explain the whys and wherefores on how that stuff happens.
Sure, look at you. What a stellar job of booking by Don Jameson.
He lucked out.
He had no idea.
We were plugging because we're down at Uncle Vinny's Thursday through Saturday. So we were just doing, I went on and plugged that gig. But no, it turned out very well. On you go.
Apparently not stupid.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
I'm back.
You got a clapper. Jesus Christ. Do you have a life alert too, you old fuck?
No, but the problem is, in this room, in my office, the switch is connected to the alarm system, which I never use. And if you go to flip the switch, the alarm goes off, and people in New York City can hear the thing. So, I don't want the neighborhood to flip out. I tried to...
Why don't you get an electrician?
Say what?
Why don't you get an electrician to fix that?
I don't have the money.
How do you buy a house that's where the light is connected to the alarm? You should have told her. I go, I'll buy the house, but this has to be fixed. How does that even pass inspection?
Because
it's surprising the stuff that they miss.
Oh, that's good to know. When I sell this,
believe me. For what I paid for this place, I mean, I stole this place, man. So it's like that's the least of my worries.
We have contacted a realtor. We will begin in earnest to look for a new abode.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Can't wait. It's weird. It's weird. So like we got to stay in this town for like 3 more years till my daughter graduates. But
right.
But it's like, I'm kind of thinking like Joe. It's like I don't want to stay here anymore. I've had it. Like where do you want to live? Like, I can live in the Bahamas. Look, how can you live in the Bahamas? For what I do, I'd be fine on an island. Yeah, I'd be perfectly. I'm willing. You know, I love this country. I am willing to leave it. I am willing to leave. I have had enough with the stupidity that is our citizenship, which again, Pip will get into in segment two. I understand this stupid wherever you go, but we have a lot of people in this country. We have over 330 million. So even if our percentage of stupid is a little less, which it's not, it's still a lot of stupid. There's a lot of stupid, and I can't deal with it no more. I want less stupid, and we'll talk about that with Facebook, too. There's a lot of it's all tying together. All tying together. Speaking of my daughter, we had to make a tough call. Because I've noticed where I live, people are starting to get lax with the COVID-19. They're starting to get a little. So people are getting worn out with it, and I get it. Like I was driving past a local bar, the restaurant was sparsely seated, but the bar section, elbow to elbow, like nothing was going on. Or we were in Florida, and my wife went to the laundromat because she had to wash some comforters. Our washing machine can't handle the huge king size comforters. So, and she's like, I didn't even stay in there. She's like, it was packed and nobody's wearing masks.
Oh my God.
So last week, I mean, it's been bitterly cold, as Joe said. So last week, my daughter's friend wants to have a get together at her mom's apartment. It's a small apartment for just like four of them. Like, oh, but we'll go outside. I'm like, you're not going outside. It's bitterly cold. So like, well, you know. What do you do? I mean, normally, because that's what they're saying where the biggest spread is, in homes and everything, people are getting together. Normally, we would have said no with what's going on. But then we noticed, well, she's in her room more. She's even more introverted. And she's always been introverted. So it's like, well, you know, what do you do? I mean, the depression is real. People are depressed. And my daughter's not going to say, hey, I'm depressed. She's not one of them. So we relented. We let her go. Said, all right, you got to wear two masks. I mean, I know it's fun to make fun of the two mask thing, but here's the thinking behind the two mask thing. The two mask thing they're saying is good now because the new strains that are coming through, whether it be from Brazil or England or South Africa, are more contagious. So they're saying even talking outside, you can get it. Well, are they more deadly? Not per se. Like the death rate isn't more per individual, but if it's more contagious, that means more people get infected, so more people will die. So I made her double mask, and we just ordered some of the KN95s. I think that's what it is. It's not the N95s. It's the KN95s, which is almost as good, which you can get out of China. We just ordered those. I've been walking around since it started. My sister-in-law made me one out of a pillowcase. And we put a HEPA filter in there. So I felt really good about that the whole time. But I'm going to walk around with this shit too. I mean, it's for real. But people are tired of it. It seems like we've been saying people are tired of it since last April. You know, but I mean, this shit's just not, it's just not going to go away. And then I saw this thing in, I think it was coming from Chicago. It was either Chicago or New York. I don't know. One of the big cities where the teachers are saying, well, we're not going to go to school unless all the teachers are vaccinated. And I get that, and the teacher should be at the front of the line to be vaccinated. But you also have like places like all around the country where kids' suicides are way up. I mean, you know, my daughter enjoys the homeschooling. She enjoys that because going to school means brushing her teeth and then sitting next to her bed. So she enjoys that aspect. She gets to sit later. And she's getting all hundreds. She's taking mostly honor roll classes, and she's getting all hundreds. I mean, she's always been a really good student, but I guess this open book thing, wink, wink, has really taken to her. But, you know, as I explained to my wife, she's like, well, it'd be kind of stupid not to take a test with an open book when you can. I mean, what type of stonad are we raising over here?
Right. You know.
But she's
actually, though, open book is how normal humans live life. Rote memorization doesn't pack it in there for very long.
I could not do basic math today. I had to ask my wife for basic math. So we have a poll. We have the polls. Thank you, Joe, for retweeting it. I want you guys to retweet all the polls. That's why I tag you in it to get more people to participate. So I put up some polls. But we also get from like Facebook and Instagram. So I had to like all right, well Twitter gives me the percentage, but now how do I add in these other people so I could figure out what the new percentages are? And I couldn't do it. I mean, I jimmy rigged it because I was like asking my wife for special ed help over there, but then she got a work call, so I had to figure it out myself. I'm like, fuck. I was like, it's like I am really, really slow. I figured it out. I ballparked it. I feel pretty good about the numbers I got, but it's like, I don't. Is this algebra? I mean, is this too trains leaving? This is not addition or subtraction. There's more involved here.
I have a blank spot about percentages, and I always have, and for some reason, like, that way of explaining things does not compute to me. So at work, there were certain things I used to have to explain to people, and people would come at me and go, what percentage of that is that? And I'd be like, because I couldn't do the math on the fly, and I wouldn't be doing a math problem in front of people, because that's like the kiss of death to me, because that's like me trying to figure out what time it is when there's somebody staring at me. I can't. I just can't.
But here's what's worse. I had a calculator. It's not like I had to show my work. I had a calculator on my phone. I was just not really sure how I could get the numbers I was. Like, wow, I have all the... I probably could have YouTubed a video if I had to, but it's like, wow, I'm not even being expected to do it like a fifth grader. I'm being expected to do it like an adult, and I can't even manage that. How stupid am I?
I tell you, statistics, I had a problem with. I had to take it twice, and it was one of the classes where I tried, and the professor did not like me, and he was an asshole. And when I took the class the second time, he mentioned to the during the first class, and I took it again, that that there was a guy that was in the last class that got a 30, and that was me.
Wow!
And oh no!
I wanted to smash his face through a fucking window. I was so pissed off, because what pissed me off, if I dicked around, maybe should have took it more seriously. I'm studying till 3 o'clock in the morning. When it comes to numbers, it's like. I don't know. I didn't get that. My father was a brilliant accountant, was a controller of 3 Fortune 500 companies. That math gene, I did not get.
Yeah, but Joe, it could have been worse. He could have, you know, last time I taught this, we had somebody who got a 30, and he's sitting right there. You know, like, yeah. I mean, that could have been really bad.
Yeah. Last class I taught, Joe got a 30.
Yeah. I had to take like a statistics class in psychology. I don't know why, but there was like a there was something. It was like a requirement that I had to take it for my psychology degree. That was like probably like a C or a C plus. That was not one of my best psychology grades. That was, I don't know how I got my way through that, and I've just gotten dumber. As time goes on.
I tell you, in the day program, when we set up, you know, when we do pricing, you know, if we're wheeling and dealing, we'll go, you know, we always go, we'll give you a 50 and we'll give you a 2 fives and a rebate. And you got to sit there. I when I was doing purchasing, I knew all those calculations a lot better. I could still do them on the fly, but sometimes it's like, yeah, we'll give you list price, less than 50 and 3 fives. And and then you got to do the calculation. I could do the, but still, you know, it's weird. And the funny thing is, my friend Lenore, that I worked with for 10 years in purchasing, I go, how can we sit and do multipliers all day long, and we can't figure out a tip on a fucking dinner check? Yeah.
I'll give you something.
Oh, there were some, I ended up in a career, it was my own personal hell, where I had to do math all day. And I literally, when I went to college, they said that my SAT math scores were so poor that I had to take a remedial college-bound math test.
Oh, they do that,
in class.
Yeah, they do that.
And Sorry?
I said, yeah, they do that, because you have entrance exams when you go into college where they it's not really based on your SATs. We all have, like, entrance exams as well. So
yeah.
You take that entrance exam.
Well, I did so poorly that I had to pay for the credits, but I didn't receive any credits. I had to pass that before I could go on and do the rest of my classes. And I was like, how stupid am I? And then I ended up in a career where I did math all friggin' day, and it was my own personal torture. But there were things that, like, I had to take classes to be able to do these specific tasks. So when they gave you, here's the calculation to do this thing you're going to do a lot, I knew those by heart. But when I had to do something like off the cuff, I'm like, I didn't show you how to do this, boss. And it was horrible. Horrible. Because, I mean, you don't want to, you know, you get to a certain level in your career, you don't want to say, I'm going to take the remedial math because I can't math.
I can't math.
It was horrifying.
Well, my
I tell you, my last college class in college that I took was astronomy, and I was it was a class during the summer. My last three credits that I needed, I'm like, oh, this will be a fun class. And the guy was like, yeah, well, maybe we'll go out to the beach, we'll look at the stars, stuff like that. Next thing you know, I got to get a scientific calculator. I got to figure out how fast fucking Jupiter's moving. I'm like, I ain't signed up for this shit. I'm a business major, you know?
Where's the Big Dipper?
I'm trying to know this on the daily. Why?
Yeah.
I did not have to take astronomy.
Well, the business classes, I barely even had to open a book because I was doing it all day long, you know?
Yeah, math sucks. We should get rid of it. That's what Biden should run on. Biden should sign an executive order to get rid of math.
Well, you know what? It's like, Siri, I need you to do this math for me. And just say what you're trying to do and then have her spit it out. Because there's no way this is doing it, pointing to her head. I need a computer. I need something to do the math for me. I am not capable, and at this age, I'm not going to figure it out.
Do you ever get change back from a cashier and go, yeah, this seems about right. Not really sure of it, but now...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're probably right.
No, I actually... I know how to count back change because
I usually do, but if there's a lot of coins involved, it just gets tedious. Yeah, this seems right.
I tell you, you got people with very good analytical. My boss is very. I mean, he doesn't use the computer because it just slows him down. Yeah.
Yes, there are some people that just wail at that, and they'll do things like my brother is really good at certain kinds of math. He'll say, you know, oh, this is the how do you calculate that, and I'm like. What?
People have different skill sets. People have different skill sets.
It's the way people's minds work. I'm better with words, but I can't math.
And if you have the analytical mind, like one job I was working, the accounting manager, I was in college at the time, and I was talking about statistics, you know, how tough that class was, and I love statistics. I think it's great. But she's an accountant. She's from a math background, which is, you know, that coincides with statistics. So if you have that mathematical mind, statistics is just a breeze.
Well, Joe.
Lummox like me, I'm fine.
Joe, 46% of college students hate statistics.
Well, oh, wow.
I don't know. I'm making that shit up, stupids. You looked at like I knew that fucking thing. Like, oh, really? It was a joke. It was a joke. See? Oh, fuck it. Wow. All right. You know what? I'm not going to blame the joke. The joke was good. The minds that I am dealing with tonight are like Swiss cheese. Because that's
I didn't hear you, and I thought you were stating a fact.
That's the problem.
I thought you looked it up or something.
It's clearly fucking absurd that I would have that ready to go. It's so patently absurd that I would know this conversation was happening, and I was going to whip up that statistic out of nowhere. And the way I said it, Jesus Christ.
What? Went right over both our heads.
Yeah.
Like a flock of Canada geese.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes you go, all right, that's the joke's fault. No. The joke will take no blame for that. Solid joke.
Oh, no, the joke's his fault.
No. Solid joke. Timing was good. Working with two dunderheads. Nothing I could do about that. I said the word statistics. And
blame it on the audience.
No, I blame it on you two. I said the word statistics and the two of you panicked. You shut off like we were taking a statistics class. I said statistics and you're like, oh dear, oh dear. Danger, danger.
All right,
Did you see behind my eyes?
Yes.
I powered down.
Hit reboot. Hit control up delete.
I'm sorry we can't help you workshop for the Mensa show, okay? I'm sorry.
It wasn't Mensa. Listen, you certainly could not help me workshop for the Mensa show. But that was a basic
solid show. I did a show for Mensa and I had a great time.
Did you seriously?
Yeah.
Well, sure. Everybody likes the Village Idiot.
Oh, that's not fair. You know, it's like everybody likes to laugh, and they don't have to be like, oh, all day long we're going to talk about, you know, things that you usually only read in an almanac, like people use almanacs anymore. But I'm just saying that just because somebody's really smart doesn't mean they're not,
Joe,
they don't appreciate humor.
Joe, did you tell me your encyclopedia jokes?
Yeah. It's the book version of Google.
It's the book version of Google.
Ah,
they don't even. I don't even think they. Do they still sell encyclopedias? Do they still sell encyclopedias? Nah.
No.
Here's the
you
thing.
Look like an asshole.
In my house.
And you can't.
In my house.
You can't get rid of them.
I have. And this was a big deal. I remember I was a kid. It's probably like 1983, so I was probably in the third grade. The encyclopedia salesman came to the house. Now, there was the Funkin' Wagnalls, which you could get at ShopRite or the supermarket, where like each week there was a new letter, so you had to keep coming back. You couldn't be trusted to get the whole thing at once. And God forbid you missed a week, your whole collection was fucked. You had to wait for it to loop around again. But
absolutely. We had it in our apartment growing up. We had the brown cheap paneling on the walls and little shelves with the burgundy colored 1972 edition of Funk and Wagnalls Encyclopedia, and that was how I did research for every school project until I got out of high school. And by that point, they were 10 years old, but that's what you were working with.
Shit wasn't
then.
Happening that much, but I had, so we had, but that wasn't good enough. I had a couple of editions of the Funk and Wagnalls, but the encyclopedia salesman came over. And we got the Encyclopedia Britannica. That was the primo encyclopedia at the time. So then there was the kids version, which was like the red, and then there was like the adult version. So I had both, and I'm pretty sure they're still in my childhood room, like because I still don't think my mom would throw that shit away.
No.
That was such an investment.
I had that in my house. We had the. I think an Encyclopedia Britannica, the old one, and then we had Funkin' Wagnalls that we got in the 70s. And I moved almost 4 years ago, and that's when I pitched all that stuff. I think a couple of things I brought along with me that's probably in a container in the garage, you know? But, yeah, and it's just amazing how quickly you get your information. Now, when I first started purchasing back in 1997, if you had to find a vendor or something like that, there was I forgot the name of it, it was these big green books that you would look into to find out who sold this and blah, 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 blah. And now you go right in the internet. I mean, if I have a guy that calls up, yeah, I'm looking for this. Do you guys have it? I go, well, what is it? And he'll go, well, this is what it is. All right, let me put you on hold for a sec. Like 9 ways to Sunday. You know, either I have it, I can cross it over, whatever. You know, and not even thinking of using a book anymore. So it's amazing how a short time, 20 years, you know, is like, you know, pretty quick. So, you know, how quickly that, you know, technology has come.
I was in law school when shit was starting to change over, because I was in law school. Oh, in the late 90s, I was in law school. So that's when we started. That's when Al Gore gave us the internet. In the late 90s. So that was when, I mean, you still had the book. If you go to, you know, any law firm, they have the case law in books. But that's when they started having LexisNexis. And I think there was another one. There was like two services where you could actually like go online. But this is before high speed. I mean, this was like the beginning of dial-up and everything. Like, I don't even, I had a PC in my apartment but I don't even think I had internet. I don't even know if I had internet, but I remember it was starting right then. It was starting to change over. So I wonder now, like, if you see these, if you go into the pictures of old law firms, they have the books of case law. I wonder if they still put that out, because there's the federal, and then every state has their own, which, you know, if you're practicing law, is very important. I don't know if they're putting it out in books anymore, or if they've just migrated to the internet. I have no idea.
That's a good question, because the law firm, I remember when I used to go, you know, when I worked at my mom's law firm, where she worked at, or I go and visit, they had like the entrance, and they just had this beautiful bookcases of all these law, I mean, it really looked, you know, really, really cool, you know, and you think about it now, yeah, how, I wonder if they're issuing it on the web, you know, if they're issuing, you know, I guess maybe there's an online version, or maybe they still issue the books. Just the traditional thing.
I know you could see cases, like if certain services that are not expensive, where you could actually like see cases, like how they turned out and everything. I'm sure there's other services. Was it Westlaw? Was that the other one? Was it LexisNexis and Westlaw? I don't know. All right, so there was two of them. I don't know what there is now, but that's God, that's close to 25 years ago, so I imagine what it is now. But you know what we use for case law and Funk and Wagnalls now? We use this, kids. We use the phone. That's what we use now. And we have something that's almost factual, Wikipedia. And you know what? Another statistic, for 95% of us, that's just good enough. The fact that any asshole can update it doesn't. We're like, no, I'm sure it's fine. I'm gonna win this online argument by citing Wikipedia. I'm dealing with bullshit, and I'm gonna throw more bullshit on top of it. That's what I'm gonna, and that's what we do.
Wikipedia is good for an overview. An overview Wikipedia. So it's not like if you have to go fact finding. Wikipedia is a good place to start to pick up bullet points, and then you go from there, you know?
The only problem with it is that since it's crowdsourced, that people can go in and switch stuff at any moment.
That's what I said, yeah. But it's good. It's good. Technology's good. Real quick on technology, then we'll take our first break. I did a Zoom show for somebody last week, fundraiser, and this was you know, when we do the ones for Laugh at Home Comedy, we encourage the audience to turn on the cameras, turn on the mics, and then Adam is monitoring everything. So if there's a room that's particularly noisy, you can mute them. But that's what. But otherwise, if you don't have the mics on and the cameras on, it's like just doing it to nobody. It's like really hard to do comedy. And they were not announced to put it on at the beginning of the show. So most of the people, by the time I got up there, still had their cameras off and their microphones off. So, you know, you're doing these jokes, and you know they're funny jokes, but they're not landing. But it is what it is. But then something very weird happened, which had never happened to me before. An echo. For some reason, like, somebody must have turned on a mic or something, so there was an echo. So I would do the joke, there'd be no laughter, and then I'd hear the joke again with no laughter. It was like my own little personal hell. It was like failure squared.
just in case you forgot how humiliated you were.
Yeah, that's what it was. And there wasn't any time for it to sink in. It's like, you know, it was like the statistics joke, but just sits there, but boom, here it is again. It's like getting run over by a Mack truck, and the Mack truck goes around the corner, and just as you dust yourself off, boom, hits you again.
I mean, look.
Hits you from the other direction.
I go do the workshop, nobody laughs, but I don't have to hear it again.
Right, that was the thing. That was the thing. It's right. I mean, like you know, if the jokes were hitting big and there's big laughs, I mean, it's distracting enough. It's bad enough. But at least you get to hear the laughs right. Twice, and it eats into the time. But now it's like, oh, wow. Now, not only am I reliving the failure of that joke, but the audience is, too.
Oh, God.
But to be fair, I don't know if the jokes were failing or not, because most of the mics were off. It's just a really hard way to do comedy. We don't do it that way at Laugh at Home Comedy. But, you know, listen, everybody does it their own way. I know some comics like to have the audience not mic'd up. I like my audience mic'd, so I can hear them and I can interact with them. But yeah, that was just like weird. It's like, wow, this is a new experience, and we're experiencing a lot of new things in comedy. We're going on close to a year now, and you know, people.
Yeah.
People are performing on rooftops. People are performing in the park underneath oak trees as vagrants, you know, walk by and piss on them. We're experiencing all sorts of new things in comedy right now. So I guess a little echo of failure isn't bad. I guess I could deal with that.
Well, you know, I hear my jokes thud, and then I hear it again in my head, and I say,
but
yeah.
But that's different. Yeah. That's different. This is, you know, we've all done that as a comic, if you're cognizant. I mean, some comics have rabbit ears, and they hear laughs where they're not, but, you know, I think Joe and I are pretty much on the same with this. If a joke fails, there's the internal monologue of self-loathing. But now you're fucking distracted. You can't even give yourself the proper self-loathing and move on. You have to hear the failure again.
Yeah. I wonder what went wrong on that bit. And then you get to hear it again.
I can workshop
it's
it.
Yeah. It's like you just put your finger against your lip and look up in the sky and listen to the playback and go, ah, that's where I failed.
Oh, my God.
At least at the workshop, you know, we all support each other. So some guy will do a bit, and I'm like, don't give up on that. Just keep going. That bit's good. Just work on it, you know?
Yeah, but this is on the clock. I'm getting paid
yeah,
for
I
this.
I know. That's why the workshop is, you know, that's the difference between that and the workshop. At least the workshop, you know, we're there helping each other.
God, can you imagine you're doing this show and you have the mics up to hear the laughter and somebody in the audience goes, yeah, keep workshopping that.
At least I would know they were paying attention.
I forgot who I was working with, and they were telling me they were doing one of those shows. I think it was Richie Byrne. It was Richie Byrne. And Richie Byrne's telling the story that he's doing this, and the guy had the Vima, and he's building a dollhouse, and it's distracting this shit. I go, could you stop building the dollhouse? He goes, I never thought I would ever say something like that. Watching me building a dollhouse.
it's completely surreal what people are doing to keep comedy alive. And, you know, except Florida, where it's all wide open, which still blows my mind. It's like, wow, most of us are dealing with the virus in some way or another, but not Florida. Like, fuck this shit. Pack them in, motherfuckers. It's the weirdest thing. And I won't go down there now. I mean, my mother-in-law just got her second vaccine, so she should be good to go. But it's like I can't even pursue working down there right now because they're not taking the precautions. I mean, every time I got a live gig coming up next week. Next week I got a live gig in person, I should say, an in-person gig. And every time I do these gigs, there's an anxiety I've never had before just because it's like, you know, why am I doing this? Which I've never had. I mean, a lot of times the audience has wondered why I'm doing this, but I've never had that feel. Like sometimes during a horrible show, you go, "Why am I doing this?" But like from the moment I take the gig, it's like this is just not smart. Knock on wood. If I've had it, I had it in March, and if I've had it again, I've been asymptomatic. But you know, you're gambling with shit. But it is what it is. All right.
Yeah.
Let's take our first break, because when we come back, Facebook is going to you're going to be seeing less political posts in your Facebook news feed. We did a poll about that. We'll discuss that, and I would say we're already seeing less posts in our news feed, and I think there's a reason for that. Had a conversation about that on somebody else's thread. Pip's got a Zoftic bitches be crazy. We have an exorcism for voter fraud. I'm sure that's a good use of Jesus Christ. A child gets expelled. An 8-year-old gets expelled for having a crush. A scam. Scamming scammers. So much more to do. But on the break, we got new music from Sehenbach with Zerna and MP Gray featuring Rudiger with Higher. And you can learn more about both those artists at K. Another one to squat in the road.
for a vice post up. He's just another person, another victim, another one that's caught up in the ropes. He gonna see how to hustle up. He knew he caught up by his post though. He's just another person, another victim, another one that's caught up in the ropes. He gonna see how to hustle up. He knew he caught up by his post though. He's just another person, another victim, another one that's caught up in the ropes. Feeling like cold, Nashville heaven. Same place going in the heart of the city. Need to for Zippy and the Asheville shifty. This shit went in there, which room mad risky. You gotta see how the hustle go. 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 You gotta see how the hustle go.
The more that you take is the more that you want. It's a game that you can never win.